welcome to another episode of Good News for Radio. My name's Peter Timothy Cooper. I'm joined in the studio, as always, by my constant conversation partner, Beryl Polden. Now, how are you doing today, Beryl?
I'm well, thank you, Peter.
It's a lovely day, isn't it? Really?
Yes, it is.
Now, the thing is, as we often comment about the weather, the reason is we live in the northwest of England. When it's a nice, bright day, that's news.
Yes, absolutely. We seem to share Manchester's weather. Manchester is always known as being gloomy.
Yes, Manchester is known for its smog and bad weather. I haven't been there recently, so...
No, nor me,
partly
actually.
Because of we're looking to comment on recent tragic events. Now, by tragic, I mean like in the classic sense of a tragedy of things... happening, such that they result in death and therefore in sadness. But I am talking about terrorist activities, so they're not simply events that just happened. Perpetrators were responsible for them. But this week, what we want to actually concentrate on is not who did it or why particular groups were chosen to be attacked, but rather, how do those groups of people, the survivors among them, cope with what happened? There's been three such events recently that have been reported in the news. There's been more, but three that have made it into the main news headlines. One was some killings in a mosque in New Zealand. Another was killings of Christians in churches on Easter Sunday. And then this last weekend, there was a killing in a synagogue in San Diego. And in each case, the people were targeted because of their faith, because of their belief. So they have that in common. And also, Beryl, we were talking before we went on air, each of them had in common a belief that one God created everything, that there's one God who you should worship. There's Muslims, there's Jews, mm-hmm. and there's Christians there.
Yes.
And they were being targeted for that. But does the content of what they believe about God affect how they respond to the tragedy? That's what we're going to look at. And actually, we'll be looking at how it is possible to cope or to get through major tragedies. People do it. How are they able to do it? What is the best way to make your way through, to navigate through such terrible events? Now, let's just look at that. Let's take the Christians. Now, the Christians meeting in those churches on Easter Sunday, it was such a widespread attack that they couldn't, or felt they couldn't, go to church the next Sunday because of fear of it happening again.
Yes, and because the authorities hadn't come to terms with what the situation was, and... So I think they were bidden, actually, not to
attend church. So it was that they weren't allowed to. I hadn't realised that. So that is almost like a continuation of the terrorist act itself. It's continuing,
yes.
You know, so it makes it even worse. Now, the question is, how in that situation can you cope? And does what you believe about God make a difference? And I think it does. I think... when it comes to any sort of situation where you're not coping, what you need is help. And
yes.
I was thinking about the 12-step process, the first one of which was the Alcoholics Anonymous movement, where one of the first few steps is always to acknowledge that you are not coping, therefore you need a higher power to help you through. You need to trust in a higher power. And in the Alcoholics Anonymous and the other 12-step programs, people choose their own higher power so that you don't get hung up on, you know, how exactly we describe God and, which denomination are you. That was the reasoning behind it. But we were talking earlier, Beryl, and I just wanted to get this idea across on the show that when that was developed, it was sort of assumed that there were basic assumptions about a higher power that would mean the higher power would help you. For example, this God or higher power loves you and cares for you, but that's not necessarily the case. It doesn't have to be the case. Someone who is powerful and in charge might hate you or be indifferent to you. So mm-hmm. it is the Christian and Jewish view of God as a loving heavenly father that helps, isn't it? I mean, that I see that as the crucial point. What are
your thoughts about? I think so too. Certainly in my experience, although I've never had a been in an active terrorism situation, I do know that when I acknowledge God as being able to do more, much more than I can ever do on my own, it makes a difference to my life and how I face it.
Yes. Yeah, so let's take each of these events in turn. Say, for example, with the Muslims who attacked in their mosque, they have someone deliberately attacking them. It's horrific because there's somewhere they can see someone evil doing this. The fear that's engendered, this is breaks through all sort of social norms, because of course we could kill each other in theory at any time.
Yes.
You don't need to use a gun. There's lots of ways you can kill people. And in fact, a lot of terrorist attacks these days are sort of using vehicles to just
run into people. They do.
That could be done any time. I was walking down the street one day in London, and there was a man and woman having sort of some big argument, and the man walked off, the woman got in the car and drove it onto the pavement and hit him with the car. She stalled it, so all he did was bump him on the bum, and he walked a bit quicker and got out of there, which I understand in that situation. But she could have, had that.
Oh,
had she not stalled
absolutely.
It, she could easily have killed him. And I guess she was just very, very angry. So that was needed, that level of anger. And she may well have regretted it afterwards, mm-hmm. I'm not... I don't know the situation there, but the thing is that he needed that seething anger overspilling to break the norm that you just don't do that. You don't attack people. You don't kill people. Mm-hmm. And so when that happens, it can make you extremely fearful that it's going to happen again, because the sort of trust that you had in that people aren't going to kill you has broken. It's sort of broken into your
For example,
world.
The number of knife attacks that they're getting in London at the moment must make people very fearful.
Yeah. Suddenly, you'd be fearful of even going out your front door.
That's
right. Just because you just don't know. And not knowing is really bad. So this is where a trusting God who cares for you is needed. This is why I'm saying it breaks through your trust in yourself and in other people.
Yes.
So you can't. So this is why you need God. And I think in the case of the Muslims, they must then have been fearful, and they needed other people to show them love and care from the inside. They needed to be able to trust God, a God who loves them. I can see that it's especially important then, because it had been very peaceful for a lot, it just hadn't happened before, so it suddenly breaks it. Now, if you take about the Christians who were meeting in Sri Lanka, now there'd been a history of unrest there. There had been
they've had a civil war.
That was really wasn't the same situation. What was harder about that one was it seemed like a total breakdown of law and order, that you could have all these atrocities happen. Yeah, you may be used to that.
Well,
sort
in
of
three
thing,
different
yeah.
Locations, far apart from one another, at the same time.
Yeah. So how were they able to cope? Because they couldn't go to church and worship the next week. They're in their homes, presumably. Maybe meeting together, a few of them, but not together.
Well, I gather that their services were conducted by television.
Oh, right.
They put
out
a service,
or
a service on television so that they could watch in their homes.
Right, yes. Now that's in that case, again, your view of God's important, isn't it? Because it comes through television. You're in your home. Your view of God needs to be then one who comes to meet you where you are.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And we did... Well, certainly Christians believe that God does come to meet them where they are. They don't have to be in church. although I'm not advocating that people don't go to church because God can meet you in your garden or somewhere like that.
No. But, I mean, no, that's a separate matter. I mean, this is a special situation that they couldn't go.
That's right.
And so there's a parable that Jesus tells of which is often known as the parable of the the son who goes off.
Oh, the prodigal son.
Prodigal. The word prodigal just the prodigal son. Well, it's really the story of the gracious father, isn't it, or loving father. And the both sons are loved by the father, and the one who comes back and he spent everything, that was his prodigalness, that he went off and spent everything. He comes back, and the father runs out to meet him where he is. He thinks that he's got to have some big speech as to why he's gone off and spent everything that his father had given him in his inheritance. But in fact, his father loves him so much, he comes to meet him where he is. And that's our view of God. And if you've got that, then you're not affected by the fact that, not fundamentally affected by the fact that you can't go to a particular building or worship in a particular way because God comes to meet with you. So look, that's the second case where who you believe God is and what you believe about him is important. So the third case we were looking at today was the synagogue in San Diego. Now, in that case, once again, just like the case with the mosque in New Zealand, you hadn't really had a history of attacks of that level. Although it does seem that Jews are always being attacked throughout history. I heard a report. I didn't see the figures. I heard a report on these figures. And I can see, I mean, they're not, it's not extraordinary. I can see that they're true. In terms of hate crime and terrorist acts, the most persecuted people group in the world is Christians. But the most persecuted group in America, in the United States of America, is Jews.
It seems to be so.
There we go. It's not a league table you want to be top of, really.
certainly not.
But that's the case. So Christians around the world and Jews in America. And so in that way, it wasn't that unexpected. But to have someone walk in a respectable neighbourhood with a gun to kill is extraordinary. Now, their view of God there was actually articulated by a rabbi who lost one of his fingers. You can actually see on the television reports when he's speaking, he's got his hands bandaged and one hand there's a finger being shot off. And he was talking about how important it was to be back worshipping again.
Yes. Yes, it's almost like, this seems rather banal, but they talk about getting, if you've fallen off a horse, get back on the horse again. And in a way, you can see why that would be good advice for Christians to continue trusting.
Yes, but his belief that life is from God, and so that when you die, you go back to be with God, this is crucial because he was able to talk about the one person who died, a woman who was shot by this killer. Now, he was able to articulate it like this: she died so that we didn't have to. Of course, that delayed him, and then he was chased off. So he said she died so that we didn't have to. So in a way, she died for them. He saw that,
yes,
and he saw that this made not sense out of the tragedy, in that it was a terrible thing. He didn't excuse what was done, but it gave a certain beauty to it, a moral beauty. Her death was tragic, but it was a death that was selfless, and you know, she was standing in the way, and so it gave because of the courageous, heroic nature of her death, whether she intended it or not, the fact that she died and it meant that they lived meant to him that this gave a meaning to her death.
Yes.
So it's interesting that you, I would say you can only say that with without any sense of irony, if you know the person is enthralled with God and will live again. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong in that, because I know.
No, I would agree with you, because otherwise, I mean, we all of us lose loved ones.
Yeah.
Some of us lose our loved ones in a dramatic way, or some of us just have loved ones who die naturally in a non-dramatic way, and we mourn their passing.
Yes.
But the thing that gives us comfort, the thing that gives us trust, is if we're Christians, particularly we're talking about,
yes,
is if we know that we are not parted by death.
Yes.
That there will be a meeting again.
Yes. I mean, I just, as you were speaking, I was also thinking about what I just said, and that other people have another point of view. The other point of view is that it's actually a greater sacrifice if you to give your life for someone, if you don't believe there's any life after death. And so I can see that. But so I think I need to be a little bit more nuanced. What I'm really saying is, although it's a great, both are a great sacrifice, whether you believe that God is going to raise you in the end or again or not, but it's a greater tragedy if the person isn't going to be raised.
Yes.
Again. I think that's what I was trying to get across.
Yes.
It's a bit clumsy in the way I put it. And so you get the meaning of the giving, the self-giving, but you also get hope for the future if you believe in a God who loves and has the power to grant life.
Yes.
Yeah, so we started this show, this episode, with saying the content of what you mean when you say higher power or say God is vitally important to coping with tragedy.
Yes. I think we believe in a God who has promised to deal with the situation so that we need not fear it.
Yes. Yes. Jesus in John chapter 14 says about his coming death, "I go to prepare a place for you." And just before he says that, he says those words that angels often say to humans, "Don't be afraid." And in situations where the natural thing is to be afraid. And I think the natural thing is, the supernatural thing is not to be afraid, to trust
yes.
in God enables you to supernaturally get through situations that you would think would floor you completely. They knock you down, but because God is holding you,
yes.
you are able to be lifted up. And so it's, in a way, it's no, not in a way, it's because it's more than believing in a certain type of God. It's,
yes.
It's that he actually exists, so he really does this stuff.
Yes, and he gives grace to help in that situation. It's
yes.
part of faith that enables you to not be totally knocked out by it.
Yes, so let's just close this episode with a prayer. But you know, if you're listening to this and you've been through a difficult situation, and maybe you're going through a loss, maybe someone you know has died or something else tragic is happening in your life, we're absolutely serious about this, that this is the best way to cope and to get through. You need to be able to talk to other people. You need to not be alone. And, not instead of, but and, you need to be able to trust in God. And the God you need to trust in is the God you can only know through Jesus Christ. So whatever your background, whatever your religion, and the people who we're talking about who died in these tragic circumstances were from the three different, very different monotheistic religions. So, Beryl, would you pray for these people in the news who've experienced loss, but also just for people everywhere who may be going through similar situation?
Heavenly Father, we come to you today thinking about these three very different situations, three different locations, three different sets of people. And yet, Lord, we know that you have promised that you will be with and you will give grace to help in these kind of situations. Lord, we never know what will happen to us tomorrow. And we pray that you will presence yourself with these three sets of people in these locations to enable them to cope with such loss as they have encountered. Lord, we pray that you will make them strong. Lord, we pray that your presence may be so felt that their sorrow may be lifted and that they will be able to trust in you so much more than they have done previously because you have stepped in to help. And Lord, we pray for ourselves and others like us that our faith may become so strong in you that we will put fear and dread aside and know that you are there undergirding us with those everlasting arms that you have promised to put round each of us should we put our trust in you. And Lord, please make our faith strong so that we can know that we can trust in you for whatever may happen to us in the future, no matter how dread it might be. Lord, you have promised this through your word, the Bible, and through your Holy Spirit. Lord, may we make that our anchor, the center point of our life, we pray. Amen.
Amen. And if you need to get in touch with us, or if you'd like to share something you're going through for prayer or just to be able to share it with someone, get in touch with the show, goodnews@petertimothycooper.com. We'd love to hear from you. See you next time. It keeps getting better.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.